Let's pray. O Lord, amid much confusion, signs that are leading away from you, we come here to seek your truth. Open our hearts to the wonders of your work and the wisdom of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, if you missed us last week, we are in our second week of Advent. In this Advent, we are looking at the book of Isaiah, Isaiah's prophecies as he foretells the coming of the Messiah, and as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, celebrating Christ's first coming to us as a baby, and then looking ahead also and especially to his second coming to us as king and as ruler. I do encourage you and invite you to check the website under the order of worship. There are discussion questions that are beneficial for you personally if you want to interact with yourself in answering the questions, but also if you have a group of people that likes to meet, if you have an Oasis group. If you are interested in joining an Oasis group, I invite you to contact the office. If you're interested in leading an Oasis group, that would be a good thing too. Go ahead and contact me or Janet in the office, and we'll get you pointed in the right direction, Lord willing. All right, we are looking at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. I invite you to follow along with the words on the screen. Maybe you have a Bible on your phone, or maybe you have the hard copy in front of you. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 10. Isaiah says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." I was out for a run the other day, and I don't know if it's because of the Canadian context that I'm coming from, but I was out for a run and I noticed a sign in somebody's window. This sign said, "My governor is an idiot, pure moron." Of course, this play on the tagline, "Pure Michigan." Now, whatever political party you're affiliated with, it just doesn't sit right with me when somebody, one of our elected officials, is defamed, when their value is not upheld, when we're not subjecting ourselves, we're not honoring, we're not respecting as we're called to. That's what's kind of going in my mind. And again, maybe it's the Canadian context where I was like, "Oh, this just doesn't feel right." However, it did lead me to wondering. It led me to a curious moment. What is underneath this? What is the pain that is prompting somebody to advertise this, to put this sign up in their window? What is the hurt? There must be a deep discontent with this elected official to put something like this up. I think back to 2016 when I went to the polls. I remember just not being satisfied with any of the presidential candidates on the ticket. Well, since the time I've been eligible to vote, I can't recall a time when I've been satisfied with any of the options before me. So I ask you this morning, people of Middle Reformed Church, what are you looking for in a leader? What are you looking for in a leader? Are you looking for somebody who is strong, who is rigid, who is tough? Or maybe you're looking for somebody with a soft, tender heart, maybe a little bit more compassionate. Are you looking for somebody that has demonstrated skills, that has years and years of experience? Or are you looking for somebody that is maybe new to the scene, that brings with them fresh ideas and a new platform? Are you looking for somebody, a leader who is highly intelligent? Or you may be looking for a leader that has more of a relational aspect, higher in the emotional intelligence, emotional IQ. Are you looking for somebody who will pursue your personal agenda, your personal political agenda? Or are you looking for somebody whose vision goes far beyond your personal concerns? They have a bigger idea of the larger picture. Are you looking for a leader who has right ideas? Or are you looking for a leader who is personally righteous? What are you looking for in a leader? And why? Why are you looking for that? Ultimately, what is it? What is it underneath that is driving that? Well, reading from the book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah chapter 11, and during this time, Israel is in a leadership crisis. Israel is in a leadership crisis. We're given the imagery of the stump of Jesse. I want you to think about your family tree. So maybe you start with your grandkids. I'm going to start with my kids, myself. So me and Christy, we have kids. So we'll say Sarah, Anna, Leah, Rebecca. And we'll go from us, we'll go to my parents, Kevin and Kathy. So think of your parents. Mine are Kevin and Kathy. And then my grandparents, we're going to go to the paternal side. That's going to be Patrick and Florence Bernadine, my grandparents. And then my great-grandparents, Otis and Bessie. And then we can continue on with our aunts and our uncles and our cousins, and you can fill that in with some distant relatives. And what you have here is it's a flourishing tree. It's a tree with many dense leaves. It's a full family tree. Now I want you to take out your hatchet, and pull a George Washington, supposedly, and just cut that tree down. Cut that tree down to where a stump is remaining. Well, this is what the situation is like for Israel as it regards the leadership. Well, back in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God makes a promise. God makes a promise to David. Do you remember David? David, King David. He is a man after God's own heart. King David is Israel's beloved king, the king who led Israel into a time of peace, into a time of flourishing. Well, God comes to David, and he says, David, when you die, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you. Your kingdom and your throne will endure forever. This is this famous promise that's given to King David, that somebody from his line will be on the throne, will rule the kingdom forever. And so this is Israel's expectation, that somebody from beloved King David's line will be leading them. And if this is from David's line, beloved King David, then this is an expectation of somebody who is going to lead into a time of peace, into a time of flourishing. The people were expecting this tree, this lush tree, full of abundant fruit. But that's not the case. That didn't happen. Because Israel had to endure a string of leaders, a string of kings who turned away from the Lord. And some of you are going through BSF right now. I think you're studying the kings, and you're seeing just how inadequate these kings were for leading God's people. Well, it's thought that during the time of this piece of writing, Isaiah, this section, Isaiah 11, King Ahaz was on the throne in Judah. Now, King Ahaz, he had the opportunity to follow after the Lord. He had the opportunity to pursue the Lord and his righteousness. Instead, he decided to turn away. And he actually made an alliance with the enemy army. He gave himself to the army of Assyria. And this brought the Lord's wrath upon Ahaz, and it brought the Lord's wrath upon Judah. Because what would happen eventually is that the Babylonian army would come in, they would lay waste to Jerusalem, and the people of Judah would be sent into exile for years and years and years. So not only do we have Ahaz here as this unsuitable leader, this leader who has turned away from the Lord, we have Ahaz, who is partly responsible for hacking down this leadership tree, this leadership family tree, from the house of David. Because if they are in exile in Babylon, well, why would they need a king? They don't need a king if there's no kingdom to rule. Israel is in a leadership crisis at this point. Expectations have not been met. The family tree has been chopped down. All that remains is this stump. And so you can imagine what this does to the hearts of the people when they hear Isaiah's vision, when they hear about his prophecy. He says that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. A shoot will come up. Life will come up from this old rotting stump. From desolation and destruction will spring up new life, will come hope. And God promises them this leader. This is our passage today. God promises them this leader, and really you see it broken down into three sections where God promises them this ideal leader. And this leader is going to be ideal because of his endowment, what he's been given. This is the ideal leader because the way he rules. And this is the ideal leader because of the result of his rule. So let's look at that. First, the endowment. What is this promised leader given? We read in verse 2 that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, which is no small thing. Because Israel and Judah have a history of kings who were spiritually bankrupt, kings who were leading out of their own wisdom and out of their own strength, which usually meant turning away from the Lord, which usually meant going nowhere, going backwards rather fast. But the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this promised leader. Well, to have the Spirit of the Lord is to lead out of a capacity that is beyond human. It is to have divine guidance and divine support holding you up and showing you the way to go, to give you the strength to lead the people. Well, along with this Spirit that will rest on this leader, we read of these endowments, that the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding will be with this leader. The Spirit of strength, the Spirit of counsel will be with this leader. Oh, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord will be with this leader. Well, it's as if the Israelites were told, hey, I want you to get together, look at your traditions, and I want you to make a list of all the best leadership qualities, the things that you desire in a leader. What are you looking for? Make a list. And it's as if they took the best from Israel's traditions and they put them in this list. There's wisdom, there's counsel, there's strength, there's knowledge, there's fear of the Lord. Well, this promised leader, this promised ruler will walk in alignment with the Lord's ways. Well, this promised leader will not be self-promoting. They will not be self-seeking. Rather, they will seek out the will of the Lord, and they will lead from this place. They will lead from a place of desiring to please the one who sends them, the Lord. That's what they're endowed with. And this leads us into how they rule. What is the method of ruling for this promised leader? Well, we read that they are going to rule with justice. They are going to rule with righteousness. Now, much like the political demands today, the political leaders today, or leaders in general, they have to pay attention to those who have the power, pay attention to those who have the money. So even if they care about the poor, they care about the vulnerable, well, this group, they don't have influence. They're unable to hold this person in a position of leadership because they need the favor of those with the money. They need the favor of those that have the power if they want to stay in place. Well, we are told, what we read is that this ruler, he will lead with justice. This ruler will be outside of this system, where they will not have to depend on, they will not have to dote on the religious elite, they will not have to dote on the socioeconomic elite. The continuance of this leadership is not dependent on those things. The continuance of this leadership is dependent on this person being put in place by a higher authority. And so, yes, this rule will be able to lead with justice and with righteousness, which means that this ruler will be able to mete out punishment. They will be able to hold accountable those who are morally corrupt, those who have been taking advantage of the vulnerable and the poor. This leader will not have to try to tiptoe and appease the elite, the wealthy. Usually it's the wealthy in the Old Testament. No. This leader stands outside, and so they are able to speak truth. This leader speaks truth to those who need to hear the truth, to those who need to be held accountable. Well, this leader leads with justice. He leads with truth. He leads with righteousness because he puts not his own will first, and not even the will of the people, but he puts God's will above every other will. So what he's been given, the way that he leads, well, this results in something. This results in peace. The result of this leadership is peace and its stability. It's the absence of fear. It's the absence of anxiety. It's security. Well, this is the beautiful word picture that we're given in our passage, Isaiah 11, where we see the wolf lying down with a lamb. The leopard is lying down with the goat. The calf and the lion are together, and they are being led by a little child. The sheep does not have to sleep with one eye open, wondering if the lion or the wolf is going to get hungry. And the lion doesn't have to wonder when its stomach starts rumbling if this is the meal that is set before him. No, there's a peace. There's a widespread peace. And we're the strong. Not only are the strong lying down with the weak, no, we see the strong being led by the weak, by the vulnerable, being led by the child. So I ask you, what are you looking for in a leader? And why? Why? When it all boils down, at the very foundational level, what are you ultimately looking for? Are you looking for something certain, a certain something in a leader because you so value a political policy? Are you looking for a certain something in a leader because you are so tied to a certain party, because you're so tied to a certain concern, I would say at the very bottom of it, the very bottom level of this why, is that we all have a desire for peace. We all have a desire for security. We all have a desire for stability, the absence of fear, the absence of anxiety. And so we look to certain leadership. We look to certain types because we think that this is how we are going to accomplish peace. Well, God promises Israel the ideal leader. He promises Israel the ideal leader, somebody who will follow him, somebody who will bring this peace. And we know today that this leader who is foretold is Jesus Christ, one who comes from the line of David, the shoot that comes from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is David's dad. I don't know if you knew that. Jesse is David's dad. He is in the line. He is in the line of David. God is upholding his promise because this baby, this king, really, Jesus Christ, the shoot, comes to us not as a strong, overpowering king. No, he comes in vulnerability. He comes as a tiny baby in a manger, who is dependent on the milk from his mother's breast. He comes vulnerable. He comes needy. Well, then the shoot grows up. The shoot grows up, and we read that the Spirit of the Lord does rest on him. At his baptism, the Spirit of the Lord descends on Jesus Christ. And through his ministry, we read that every step he takes is in accordance with the Father and with the Spirit. He is seeking not his own will, he is seeking the will of the one who sent him. Even in the garden when his life was dependent on it, Father, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus was putting the will of the Father before his own will. Oh, this man is a man who walked and he walked with us and he lived for justice. He put the needy where they should be. He walked with truth and integrity and righteousness. And you know the strange thing about it, though? Really, the sad thing about it is that there were only a handful of people who recognized him as a leader worth following. Because some people, well, they thought he was too weak, that he didn't exercise his power enough. Well, some people thought that he hung out with the wrong group, that he hung out with sinners too much. Maybe they thought he should have been hanging out with the religious elite. Well, some people thought that he, well, some people were afraid. They were offended, really, because he spoke the truth to them. They were offended by him because he told them, really, what was going on. Some people didn't want to follow him because they thought he should be more religious, that he should hold up the traditions. But this is the promised leader. This is the ideal leader, Jesus Christ, who is given to us by the Father, by God Almighty. And this is what we're waiting for. This is why we are preparing. We are readying ourselves to receive not just a baby, not just God who came down to us a first time, but we are readying ourselves to receive our coming King, the one who comes in righteousness, the one who comes in truth to rule and to lead us into this peace. So I ask you, congregation, what are you looking for? Are you preparing yourself? Are you being prepared? Ask yourself this question: what am I looking for? Who am I following? What am I being led by? Are my heart and my head following Christ, Or am I being led somewhere else by somebody else? Well, in this season, may we find Christ. May we look to Christ. And in him, may we find the forgiveness of all of our sins. May we find the promise of peace as he comes back to us as ruling king. And may we find his enduring, never-ending covenant love for his people. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we have this promise amidst a broken and hurting world, a world that's full of conflict and strife and self-seeking. Lord, we have this promise of peace, peace to us only through Jesus Christ when he returns. God, may our hearts be turned to him now and in this season so that we might live as people of peace. Amen, Lord Jesus, come.